We are quickly finishing this amazing series that Pastor Micah has brought us through on Sermon on the Mount. All right, so I've got this section that I'm going to bring today in Matthew. The ushers are going to bring Bibles. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring one to you. All right, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, obviously, Sermon on the Mount. All right, you can open up to chapter 7. All right, that's where we're going to reside today. All right, and we're quickly approaching, as I said, the end of this series. Micah wanted me to encourage all of you to come back next week for the conclusion of the series, all right? But I'm honored to be able to bring the second to last section today. We're going to be talking about prayer, all right? Second time that Jesus brings up prayer during this Sermon on the Mount, so it must be important enough for him to bring it up twice. All right, so we'll see what we can gather from that. But just a quick kind of review for what's led us up to this point. All right, Sermon on the Mount, as we kind of set the scene for it, we have to realize, it's important for us to realize that this sermon that Jesus brought was for his disciples, right? It says that he was on a mountain, he sat down, his disciples gathered around him, right? You can just picture the scene, all right? And no doubt there were other curious people there as well, all right, who were hungry to know who this Jesus guy was. They heard things about him, all right? But these things that we read about in here are focused on believers. They were focused on his disciples, of which, right, we partake of that title, amen? Right? If we're a believer in Christ, we are his disciples indeed. All right, so as we read through this, we know as a disciple, we're a temple of the Spirit, right? We're filled with the Spirit. And it's with that same Spirit, that power of God that's within us, that we're able to actually walk out everything that Jesus has encouraged us with this Sermon on the Mount. It's nearly impossible to walk these things out. And even if it was, we would be giving ourselves the glory, right? When all glory needs to be to God for everything good that we do. All right, so this message that he brings us, though some of these things are hard to gather and understand and apply to our lives, if we're trying to do it in our own power, in our own strength, it'll be impossible, right? Right? But it says all things are possible through him who believe. We believe that God has put his Spirit in us, right? The same Spirit that raised him from the dead. And it's by that strength that we're able to walk these things out. So these last few weeks have been amazing. Micah, I've been convicted by this series. When he spoke, who was here when Micah spoke about fasting? Right? That was like a game changer for me. In previous seasons of my life, had done some fasting and then I'd kind of gotten away from it. But that message just like brought it back home. It re-stirred it up inside of me, and the next week I was like, boom, I'm going to fast. All right. So I thought that the message was awesome, right? But so we look back to chapter 6, just really kind of quick review before we jump into today's scripture, today's section of scripture. And we read in chapter 6, if you want to look in there, just go a page back in chapter 6, verse 8. He says something that's so important for us to realize. It's going to apply to our message today, right? Here's what he says. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask him, right? That's so important for us to realize. He knows what we have need of before we even ask him. So then why do we have to pray? If he already knows, why do we need to pray? It's how we commune with God. It's how we fellowship with him. And as we look at our section for today, we're going to see just exactly why and how that applies. But we want to always remember that he already knows what our needs are. He's a good, good father, right? He says there at the end of that little section, after he says the Lord's Prayer, that we've got to forgive men their trespasses, right? And it says if we forgive them their trespasses, that our Heavenly Father is going to forgive us ours, right? As we look at the Sermon on the Mount and we're trying to apply these things to our lives, we're looking at what are the blockades in our lives to spiritual growth. Unforgiveness is going to be one of those blockades. That's going to prevent us from fulfilling the perfect plan that God has for our lives, right? So of all the things that Jesus prayed in that Lord's Prayer, the one thing that he points out was forgiveness, how important that truly is. And then he goes on to talk about fasting in verse 16 of chapter 6, right? And he says, when you fast, right? Not if you fast. And then Micah brought an amazing message about laying up treasures in heaven, right? As opposed to laying up treasures on earth and how important that is that we can't serve both God and money, right? And it's not so much that stuff is the problem, right? It's not having stuff that's a problem. It's, as he said, it's when stuff has us, right? When money has us, that's when we've got an issue, right? So it's not that we can't work hard and see, you know, have a nice, you know, nice house or nice car or clothes or whatever it is, but we got to make sure that that's not an idol in our life, right? That that's not more important to us than getting to know this amazing God. And if money gets in there, guys, it's going to be a blockade to us growing as a disciple, right? Growing in the ministry that God has for us. All right, then he jumped into this great message 2 weeks ago, do not worry. Who was here for that one? Do not worry. That was an amazing message that I think all of us are convicted by, because who doesn't find themselves in a place of worry sometimes, right? What if this happens? What if I can't pay that bill? Right? What am I going to do? I got in that car accident. My grandma, my mom, whoever, they've got cancer. Like, what am I going to do if my husband passes? How am I going to afford to live? You know, what if I lose my job? Now I've lost my job. How am I going to pay my bills? Right? Worry, right? We got circumstances day in and day out. What do we do with those? Jesus says, do not worry, right? Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body not more than clothing? Worry, anxiety, that kind of pressure, being afraid of what might come, it's a hindrance to spiritual growth. It's hard for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, which is the destiny that God has for us. It's very hard for us to continue to fulfill that mission, that destiny, if worry is a big part of our life, right? If we got a heavenly mindset, as Micah, Pastor Micah brought a couple weeks ago, if we've got that heavenly mindset, that kingdom mindset, and we know that we have a good Father who's going to provide everything that we need, then as Micah said, what are you worried about, right? And that sounds simpler than it probably feels, but there's something simple about it that we just need to apply to our lives by faith. You know what? I'm not going to worry. Why? Because it says, don't be anxious about anything, right? Don't be anxious. But through prayer, which we're going to talk about today, and petition, right? With thanksgiving, we present our request to God. And then the peace comes, right? So the worry goes away when the peace comes. But the peace isn't promised to come until we present our request before God, which again, we're going to be talking about today. Do not worry. And then it says there in chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. Micah did this amazing job presenting this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is going to be added to us, right? So what are we worried about? If we seek first the kingdom, we have a kingdom mindset, everything else is going to be added to us. But we got to know, we got to seek his righteousness. It's not our righteousness. It's not a self-righteousness. It's not a power in us that we're trying to stir up. It's something that's been applied to us, right? He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, was made to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Righteousness is, it's not something that we feel, it's something that we become. It's been granted to us. By faith, Abraham believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So we walk by faith, believing that Jesus paid the highest price for us on the cross, and by his wounds, right, we are healed. And his righteousness is applied to us because of the price that he paid. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. So essential for our growth as a disciple of Christ to fulfill, again, that destiny of becoming more and more like Jesus. And then last bit of review. Last week, Lucas brought a message about do not judge. Who was here last Saturday and Sunday for that? Do not judge. Another game changer. Right? And he cleared up maybe some things. It's like the scripture pitting against itself. What's confused? Sometimes it says judge, sometimes it says don't judge. Like, what's the deal? Lucas brought those three great points, right? He said, first, we got to examine ourselves before we judge anybody else, right? We got to judge who we are and how we're operating, and we got to use the moral law to really judge that, all right? And then we've got to take God's standard to apply that judgment, that righteous standard, which comes through the righteousness that Jesus places in us. We're able to function and help other people in their trouble, right? Because we're seeing clearly. But it's hard to see clearly, as Lucas brought last week, right? When you got that house beam, right, sticking out of your eye, right? It's really hard, it's really cloudy to be able to see the speck that's in our brother's eye if we've got a beam hanging out of ours. So we examine ourselves first, right, before we judge. We use God's standard when we judge. And we begin always with the end in mind. Unrighteous judgment is going to be a block to us becoming more like Christ, right? It's a beautiful thing when we start aligning our lives with everything that the Word says. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But is it worth it? 100%. All right, so that brings us to our section of scripture for today. If you don't mind standing with me as we read the word, we're going to be in Matthew 7, starting at verse 7. All right, these are the words of God. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the hope that comes in your word as we read it and apply it to ourselves, Lord. So with this, as we talk about prayer today, Lord, and we are nearing the end of this message, this series about the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, I just pray that we've been changed by it, Lord, that we're truly able to apply these things to our lives, Lord, not by our own strength, but we understand that by the Spirit that you've placed within us, we're able to walk these things out, Lord. So we lift up this day. I pray, Lord, this is a message that you're bringing, Lord, your words, not mine, that we would leave here encouraged, leave here changed in some way, ready to go out back into the world and be lights in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. All right, so I did say, right, don't forget to come back next week for the conclusion of this series. No doubt it will be awesome. All right, so ask, it's going to be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. I'm not a big, like, grammar person, but I've come to understand and read that there's a verb tense in here that's so important for us to see. And that's that imperative, that present imperative tense, right? And what that tells us is, what this actually could say is ask and keep asking, right? Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking, all right? Because so often we don't get the answers to prayer that the first time that we ask. Anybody experience that? I think that's probably pretty much all of us. We don't always get the answer the first time we pray it. So there's a persistence to us seeking the Lord in prayer that's so important for us to see. All right, I wanna talk about because those are some big words there. Ask and it will be given. Like that's a big promise. So let's look at what any parameters of this might be for us. What are the boundaries of this asking and this guarantee that we're going to receive and seeking and guarantee that we're going to find and knocking and this guarantee that the door is going to be open. What are the boundaries? Well, let's look at this lesson of the fig tree. This is Matthew chapter 20. I'll read it to you. I think it's going to be up on the screen as well. All right, so Jesus had come, he had seen a fig tree, he was hungry, he saw a fig tree in the distance, right? He came up to it, it had no fruit on it, right? So he cursed the fig tree, right? And they went out on the day of ministry, and they came back, and the fig tree was already withered, right? And it says his disciples, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither so soon? And Jesus answered this, and here's what he said to them. Surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. All right? So we're asking, guys, when it says ask, seek, knock, we're asking according to his will, right? And he promises that when we ask according to his will, the mountain is going to be moved. So is this a literal mountain? Is this like, you know, you go out and need one of these mountains, we want to move one of those things, you know? I don't know, maybe. But more likely, how we can apply it to our lives and personalize this is it's a mountain of a problem, right? How many things do we have going on in our lives? We've got mountains that need to be moved. I need a new job. The job I'm working right now is not providing for my family, right? I need a new car. This car, I know it's going to break down on me, you know, any day. Or maybe it is breaking down on me all the time, right? My mom or my grandma or my brother or my friend or my coworker has cancer, right? There's so many mountains in our lives that we need moved. Jesus encourages us. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also you will say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Whatever things we ask in prayer, believing, we're going to receive them. Okay, but again, this imperative tense, it's a command, right? This imperative it's a command that Jesus isn't saying, hey, if you feel like it, ask, right? If you feel like it, seek, you know, or if you feel like it, knock. He's saying, no, ask. It's an invitation, right? It's the more polite the way to say it, to fellowship with him. He knows what we need before we ask him. He's a good father. He wants to give us all things, but we got to have this kingdom mindset, right? And know what the will of the Father is as we ask. Are we asking for just any old thing and that it's going to be given to us? No, right? If we ask for things that are outside his will, don't hold your breath. You know, don't hold your breath that, you know, hey, I want a Ferrari. I don't just need a new car. I want the brand new Escalade. You know, I don't just need new clothing. I want to go down to, you know, like, you know, my favorite shop where jeans are $350 a pair. Right? I'm not sure that prayer is going to get answered, but he promises he's going to clothe us. He's going to make sure that we have food. But we got to keep pressing into the consistency of it. When we don't get the answer the first time, we ask again. And we pray believing that we're going to have what it is that we've asked for. So in this asking, we're asking according to his will. We're seeking for the answer. He promises if we ask according to his will, right? John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Even our desires, right, are going to line up with the word of God, line up with kingdom mindset according to the will of God. We've got to abide in that word, right? And the word abides in us. So as we seek to become more like Christ, we're going to spend more time in his word. We're going to stay connected to the vine, abide in him, and our desires will line up with the desires that he has for us. Our desires, I'm sorry, will line up with the desires that he has for us. And we're going to see the answers to prayer that we're looking for. So ask and you will receive. So that next verse, right, he says, verse 8 says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened, right? It goes into plural. He repeats himself. There's a redundancy to it on purpose. We ask and we keep on asking. We seek and we keep on seeking. We knock, we keep on knocking. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all of your heart. If you seek me, you will find me. If you search for me with all of your heart. You see people like, has everyone ever been on the beach and you see the guy with like the earphones on, right? And he's got the metal detector and he's just kind of goofy looking sometimes, right? And he's just going around, right? The guy's seeking, right? We may think he's goofy, but you're not going to think he's so goofy when he finds that diamond ring, right? He's seeking after something, right? Or anybody watch that Gold Rush show on whatever channel it is? I don't watch a ton of TV. My wife loves that show, though, right? And these guys, right, that show, I don't know, Parker and Tony, there's some guys in there that are just seeking after gold. They're going after it, right? I just did a little Google search this morning. I think last season, this guy Parker brought in $15 million in gold. That guy's motivated to seek. Now, I don't think, I'm not seeking after what he's seeking for, but We can learn from his motivation. That guy wants to find gold, right? He's looking and he's searching for it. Do we seek God? Do we seek the answers to prayer the way those guys are searching for physical gold? Do we want answers for prayer that badly? Where we're not going to just pray once, and if it doesn't happen, we're not going to pray again. Are we willing to go again and again and again before the Lord until we see that answer? Proverbs 2 says this, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment and you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly." We want to go after it. We want to go after prayer, right, on whatever it might be, believing that the prize that we're asking for is attainable, right? We look at someone like the Apostle Paul, who asked the Lord 3 times, right, to take that thorn away, right? He had that thorn in the flesh that was just, it was just irritating him, right? And this is a guy who, it says, he was taken up into paradise, right, into this third heaven, and he saw things that it says man is not allowed to tell, right? And he says, "I'll boast about a guy like that," right? And he says, "I prayed 3 times that the Lord," he goes, "a thorn was given to me," right, to humble me, right? And I asked the Lord 3 times to take it away. And his answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you," right? "My power is made perfect in your weakness." Our answers to prayer are not always just this immediate yes, right? He's a good, good father who knows what we need before we ask him. And sometimes the things that we ask wouldn't be good for us. But sometimes it's the persistency and the consistency in asking. It's searching for him as you're searching for gold that builds the character. It's the endurance of us asking and seeking and knocking that attains what God's really trying to accomplish in us. If the goal is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, right, and our mission on earth is to glorify God, right, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. If that's the mission, right, and the destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ, then we want our prayers to align with that purpose. And we got to put that purpose in front of us every single day. This is the standard, right? And so when we ask in prayer, or we consider praying about whatever it is, whether it's the next car we're going to buy, what we're going to do about the house situation, the financial situation, the relational situation, the medical situation, we got to ask ourselves, does this align with God's perfect will for my life? Will the answer to this glorify the Lord? Will it make me more like Jesus? So we ask him, believing. We seek him, knowing that his promises that we will receive. And we knock, right? We knock and we push hard until something changes, right? Have you ever heard that P-U-S-H, pray until something happens? Paul prayed 3 times. Some say that the 3 times was actually 3 times, right? And other theologians would say, no, the 3 in the Hebrew culture represented more like something complete, right? It was like a season of prayer where he was seeking after the Lord. Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. Until he got his answer, Paul did not quit pursuing the Lord on it. Right? And we have Jesus as our example as well. When he was in the garden, right? He also prayed 3 times. Right? He went in there and Father, take this cup from me if there's any other way. And then he went and found his disciples sleeping, right? Rebuked them, pray, wake up and pray. And he went back in a second time, prayed again to the Father, and the third time, again, same thing. Lord, if there's any other way, right? But what was his resolve? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. As we're seeking the Lord in prayer, are we brave enough to say, not my will, but yours be done? Right? If the answer is no, or the answer is not now, are we going to get frustrated with the Lord? Or are we going to accept it the way Jesus accepted it in the garden? Are we going to accept it the way the Apostle Paul accepted that thorn that was in his flesh? Though no doubt it was irritating to him to have that thing remaining with him. And I don't think it was his prayer life that was preventing him from communicating well with the Lord. God had a purpose for the issue that he was having in his life. And sometimes the answer is just not now. Or sometimes the answer is keep seeking, keep asking. I'm doing something in you, even with you pursuing me. So what do we do? What do we do when we don't receive the answer to prayer that we really desire? We keep on seeking. We don't give up. We don't give in. You had the demon-possessed boy whose father brought him to the disciples. You remember that story? Matthew 17, I think, and Mark 9. And he brought him to his disciples and asked them to cast the demon out of his son. Right? And they were unable to do it. And then Jesus soon came on the scene, and the father, desperate for his son to be free from this demon, comes to Jesus and says, I brought my son to your disciples that they might get him free. They might cast out the demon, and they were unable. If there's anything you can do, help us. And Jesus, I can just imagine kind of the smile that's building in his face. He goes, if there's anything, you know who you're talking to? He says, all things are possible to him who believes. And the response of the father is something that we can all learn from, right? He says, I believe, and help my unbelief. We all have these varying levels of unbelief that reside in us. And sometimes as we're praying, I believe the Lord just wants us to continue to seek him to even cure that unbelief. Right? When those disciples came back to Jesus, they said, hey, Lord, how come we weren't able to cast it out? Because what did Jesus ultimately do for that boy? He cast out the demon. So what was the will of God? Was the will of God for that boy to be healed and freed from the demon? Absolutely. Why weren't the disciples able to get him free? Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Right? And he said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. So we want the will of God to be accomplished in our life, and I believe that most of us want to be used by God to do his will on the earth. But we have to continue to believe, right? All things are possible to those who believe. So we're seeking him, believing he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine. Jesus set that boy free. He wants to continue to use us to set other people free. He wants to use us for kingdom purposes. And again, the mission is to conform us to the image of Christ in all things. It says in verse 9, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Kingdom mindset means we believe that God, knowing everything that we need, he's going to provide us what we need in the time that we need it. Our pursuit of him in consistent, passionate, enduring prayer shows the Lord what our desires are for him. How bad do we want it? How bad do we want that answer to prayer? There was a season of my life where I was super motivated to go and pray for people who needed healing. If I saw anyone, you know, whether it was at the store or a client maybe in a house, and you know, one of the houses where I work in, with a cast or a brace of some kind, I would just immediately say, "Hey, can we pray?" And I came across multiple clients who, through conversation with them, they had cancer. And so prayed, and there was just two gentlemen in particular. I remember praying for them, and they endured for a while, and I just was believing, like, "Lord, I just believe they're healed. I believe you've healed them of cancer. We're just waiting for the positive, report from the doctor, the confounded report, like, it's gone." Until I got that text from their wives, and it was one, and then, I forget how close together those were. This was a little bit ago, but they passed. The cancer, they'd succumbed to the cancer, and my dad as well, lung cancer. We prayed, believing, consistently, asking the Lord for healing. Didn't see the result that we were looking for. So what do I do with that? Right? What do I do with three very disappointing answers to prayer? Do I give up? Do I say, I'm not gonna pray for anybody who's sick ever again? Well, then I'm going to be disobeying the word on the other end, right? Because it says in James 5, is there any sick among you, right? Come to the elders of the church, anoint them with oil. The prayer, the prayer of faith will save the sick, right? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So if I give up and stop asking because I didn't see the result that I was looking for, then how many opportunities for healing am I going to miss out on seeing and other people miss out on receiving? Persistency. We can't let the quietness or the unanswered prayer hinder us from continuing to seek after the Lord for his perfect will. And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not now. And sometimes the answer is just keep coming. Just keep praying. If I had given up on praying for the sick, then I wouldn't have seen any of the other results that I've seen since that time. And even this past Friday night, we had a leaders meeting for our youth team, and Vaughn, one of our youth leaders, we were just doing some axe throwing and some archery and this rope game where you got two people like on a pedestal and you're trying to pull the rope hard enough so the other person, you get the other person to fall off before you do. It was very manly. Well, Vaughn was king of the hill. Nobody could get him to fall off the pedestal. He just kept beating all of us. All right, so that was a little annoying, but nonetheless. After we were kind of done, we were going to go do some worship around the fire pit, and Vaughn I could just see, his demeanor had changed a little bit. I'm like, "What's going on?" He was kind of like holding his arm, and he's saying, "My arm, like it's killing me. I've got this pain in my bicep, and it won't go away. When I'm moving my arm, I don't really feel it, but when I stop, it's just this pain, this intense pain." So if I say, "You know what? Man, I prayed for those two people. I prayed for my dad, cancer, right? Not healed. I'm done. I don't pray for healing anymore because that three disappointing results. My dad, really, like, I don't pray for the sick anymore." Then I might say, "Hey, Vaughn, good luck to you, bro. Like, you should probably go see a doctor. Get some Icy Hot, which actually somebody had, so, right? Take an Advil, whatever. Like, I give him the advice he could get from anybody. But he's standing before a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who Jesus died on the cross for to impute his righteousness, right, that I partake of, one who has the same Holy Spirit in him that raised Jesus from the dead, whom has this high standard that Jesus has set for him that's illustrated so well in this Sermon on the Mount. I have a choice to make. Am I going to, because I don't want to be maybe embarrassed, or I don't want something not, don't want it to see it not happen again, am I just going to not pray, or am I going to pray believing according to his will that it will still be done? We laid hands on Vaughn. We prayed once, "Lord Jesus, whatever it is, whether it's muscular or tendons or nerves, bones, whatever it is, be healed in Jesus' name. Vaughn, check your arm, stretch it out, nothing." Prayed again. "Lord Jesus, bring healing." We pray for healing. Check it, nothing. I prayed a third time. Nothing. Still had pain. So we went to do some worship, a couple songs around the fire pit. After the worship, I just ran back into Vaughn and I said, "Hey, you know, how's your arm doing?" And he smiles and he's like, "It's completely gone." The pain was gone in his arm. So nothing to do with the person who prayed for him, right? Except that it's just faith. We pray believing that we're going to have what it is that we've asked for if we pray according to his will, right? And we can't allow unanswered prayer or less than desirable answers to prayer hinder us from continuing to pray, whatever our issue is. Healing, you know, is just, you know, I brought up a couple examples of healing, but we've got other mountains, don't we? We've got relationship issues. We've got vehicle issues, cars that are breaking down. We've got issues with our job, coworkers and supervisors and people that we can't stand. Maybe we don't have a job and we need a job, right? Maybe we've got issues with our mother-in-law, our father-in-law. Whatever it is, whatever our mountain is, if we give up praying, there's a guaranteed result. You're going to have what it is that you have. But if we pray believing, if we ask and keep asking, if we seek and keep seeking as if for gold, not giving up, like, no, I must get the answer to this. If we knock, pounding on that door, open up. Lord, let me in. I want to come in to your kingdom. Show me how to seek you in prayer for the answer that we're desiring. And don't give up. I was just thinking of, you know how like you're watching in the movie where the damsel in distress is like running, you know, and like goes down, not that way. It goes down the lane, the little aisle, the alley, right? And it's always a dead end, right? And the music is playing, right? And there's like a couple of doors and you're checking them. What? Locked. Check the next one. Locked, right? Locked. And the enemy, the guy with the guns, like coming down, you know, and he's going to get her. He's going to get him, whoever it is, right? And then all of a sudden she checks out one door and it opens and swipes in there, right? And slams the door and then the enemy just like keeps going past. That's the way we need to knock, right? We need to check doors. You got one that's locked, you go on to the next one. Or it's locked, you start knocking. You keep on knocking. Sometimes our life, our spiritual life, our next stage of life is literally hanging in the balance. Are we going to give up early, right, and allow the enemy to just, you know, have his way with us and not see the answer that we're looking for because we just are tired of praying, are tired of being disappointed? Or are we going to pursue with endurance and take God's word for what it says? That if we continue, if we ask, we're going to find. And if we seek, or sorry, if we ask, we're going to receive. If we seek, we're going to find. If we knock, the door is going to be open to us. That's the way we want to pursue the Lord. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We got to continue to ask. He's a good Father. His desire is for us to know him in a continually deeper and deeper way. He says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This last section, this last verse, verse 12, I believe it applies to the last two sections that we've gone through here in the Sermon on the Mount. The last therefore that we read was back in verse 31 of chapter 6, before it talked about do not worry. So this one applies to not judging, right? We want to do to men what we'd also have them do to us by judging righteous judgment, but also as it applies even to our prayer life. There's always somebody that's drinking downstream from our ministry, someone who sees our reactions and responses to any given thing that happens to us. And as believers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to model what it looks like to have a full dependence on the Father, believing that we're going to see the results that we desire, right? When we see someone sick, We offer up prayer, right? When we see someone who's in need, whether it's a financial need or relational, whatever it is, we ask them, hey, can we pray? And people will see in our lives a dependence on the Father, right? And a persistence and a reliance that they're gonna wanna duplicate for themselves. We're gonna model for ourselves, model for other people rather, the way that we're called to live this life. God's good. He's got this perfect plan for us to be conformed to his image. Asking, seeking, knocking, praying with persistence. It's key to us growing up in him in all things. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. All right, so I think we do have a closing song. All right, we're going to finish a little bit early today. All right, but as we leave here, guys, let us renew our faith in what's possible. Let us remember that sometimes the answer is, my grace is sufficient for you, which is what Paul received. And we need to accept that. All right, God, you're doing something. You're keeping me humble. Sometimes the answer is no, right? Like with Jesus in the garden, like if Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, if the answer would have been, yes, okay, I'll take this cup from you, then he would have never gone to the cross and we'd be in a whole big mess. Aren't we glad that Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, right? We want to model after that same thing. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. That's how we got to operate day to day in everything that we do. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. And don't stop knocking. You pray until something changes. Pray until something happens. Pray until you get the answer that it is that you're seeking. And if it's no, you say, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And when it's yes, hallelujah. You'll see the healing. Hallelujah. You'll see the breakthrough in the finances. Hallelujah. You'll see the change in the relationship. Don't give up. Don't give. He's a good, good father. He knows how to give good. If we know how to give good gifts to our own children, how much more will he give good things to those who ask him? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement, Lord, of us seeking you in prayer and not giving up. Lord, I pray that we can leave here today encouraged with our faith renewed to maybe believe again that that thing can change, whatever it is, whatever that mountain is that stands in our way, that it truly can change. That as we seek after you, as if looking for silver or for treasure, Lord, that we will indeed find it. And as we're knocking on that door, Lord, that you will let us in. So thank you for your encouragement today, Lord. We thank you that we can apply this to our lives in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen.